You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And off we go. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back. Great to have you. Happy Monday. More importantly than a happy Monday, allow me to wish you the happiest of football weeks. There are exactly and precisely 0 weekends remaining in the 2025 calendar year that do not include some type of football game. We have 3 weeks of preseason football lined up ahead of us. And then we get to Saturday, August 23rd. And from that Saturday, every remaining Saturday and Thursday and Saturday and a handful of Fridays and Sundays and Tuesdays, because Maction is almost back, boys. Every one of them days has got at least a college football game in it. Yes, please. Yes, please. We've got a handful of games. We have 3 days, effectively. 3.5 days. We got to get to the nighttime. 3.5 days remaining until Indy and Baltimore, Cincinnati and Philly, and Las Vegas and Seattle get us started on Thursday night. Detroit and Atlanta, Cleveland and Carolina, Washington and New England fire up on Friday. New York, the G-Men, and the Buffalo Bills, Houston, Minnesota, Dallas, LA Rams, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Tampa, New York Jets and Green Bay Packers, Kansas City, Arizona, Denver, San Francisco on Saturday, Miami, Chicago, and then New Orleans, Los Angeles on Sunday. It's here. 0 more Saturdays, 0 more Sundays where there's not some sort of football ahead of us. Ladies and gentlemen, feels good, bro. I know it's because of the weather. I know it's because of the overcast. I know it's because of the incoming rain, which Lonzo alerts me we have a 100% chance of every day for the next 3 months. I got it. But this morning, the alarm went off. I got up. I got showered. I got dressed. There was a little extra pep in the step. And right before it was time to leave, I had to take the old pupper outside. She's a youngster. She's 7 months. You got to take her out in the AM as soon as you get up and get going. And I opened the back door. Y'all, it is August 4th. Somehow it's August already. We'll talk about that later. It is August 4th. I opened the door to let the dog outside. And a rush of 60-whatever-ish degree breeze just gently washed across my face. And I went, it feels like football. It's very football-y outside. And I know it's a mirage. I know it is only for a little while. I know we are in false fall. I know it is obviously not fall. It is still August. Hell, one of the fun conversations about SEC football is how miserable it is to play in Gainesville or Athens or Austin in August in the early portion of the season because it's 10,000 degrees in the brutal baking sun. But for just a hot minute, knowing it's false fall, knowing this is all fraudulent weather, knowing that in 2 to 3 weeks, we're all going to be going, I think I'm going to die while we're standing outside watching our football teams play. For just a moment this morning, when I went to take the pepperoni outside and I opened the door and felt that gust of late fall breeze, I thought to myself, it's football season. And even Mother Nature herself is celebrating. Feels good, man. Feels good. All right. It is 7:05 in the morning. You know what that means. It is time for us to tell you what you're going to probably, more than likely, be talking about when you get to the office this morning. Because I know the drill. You go in, you log in, you clear up all the stuff your boss wanted you to do over the weekend. But hey, your weekends are your time. So you said, bleep that noise, boss man. I'm enjoying my final Saturday and Sunday without football on TV by preparing myself for next weekend when there's football on TV. But you got to make up for it today. So like 7 to 12 minutes of actual hard work. And then you're going to take that break. You're going to walk down the hallway to that break room. You're going to go stand next to the water cooler. You're going to wait for Bill from Graphics to show up. And you're going to talk sports. And since that's going to happen, you need to know what's going on. And since you need to know what's going on, worry not, dear friend, because right now is when Lonzo and I do this. Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet. The top three sports stories that you will be talking about when you get to the office this AM. When you do, these are most of the things you're going to be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. I heard a lot of words used to describe the first ever Major League Baseball Speedway Classic over the weekend. It was meant to be on Saturday, but unfortunately, the same Mother Nature that is celebrating it being football season this AM, well, she had other plans for the Braves and the Reds on Saturday night. The game was rain delayed by nearly 2 hours, just shy of 2 hours. They got the game underway, but they could not finish it. Played about an inning on Saturday night before baseball said, yep, nope, this ain't gonna work. So they suspended the Speedway Classic to be resumed yesterday. The Braves would ultimately win the Speedway Classic, 4-2 is your final. Hudson Waldrop, the rook, called up from the minor leagues to eat up some innings. Went 5.2, gave up 3 hits, just 1 earned run, and K'd 4 in a 75-pitch performance. Of course, Austin Cox went to the bump on Saturday night after Spencer Strider was scrubbed. Initially, a lot of people real upset about that decision because after the rain delay, but before we knew that the game was going to be ultimately rain delayed until Sunday, Strider got yanked from the game. He was supposed to start because this was supposed to be a crown jewel game for Major League Baseball. But Strider got scrubbed. And a lot of Braves fans are like, yo, why? He's the only guy we got. Well, it turns out, I assume, that it was pretty obvious, at least it was to me, that that game was not getting finished on Saturday. So there was no need to send him out there to ultimately pitch one inning, screw up your whole rotation, give Strider a couple of extra days of rest, send out a young guy, a bullpen guy. They did. He pitched one out before we ended up moving on to Sunday. Waldrop would have himself a very good day yesterday. Four other pitchers, Johnson, Lee, Kinley, and Iglesias, would all come in to close it out. Over the course of the 2 days, the Braves offense racked up 10 hits. There were no more important two hits than the not one, but two dongs collected by Greenville native, Wren High School graduate, and Clemson Tiger Eli White, who went yard in the second inning and again in the seventh inning, the first two dongs of his Major League Tennessee showing. The only two home runs ever hit in the state of Tennessee now belong to Eli White. The Braves get it done 4-2. That's not even really the crux of the conversation. The crux of the conversation is this. You guys know I like a gimmick in sports. I like when teams do something different, unique, original, attention-grabbing. I liked the Field of Dreams games, and I liked this concept yesterday because I don't know that there are two fan bases that overlap quite as much as NASCAR fans and Braves fans. They are the team of the South. NASCAR is the sport of the South. I liked this. The problem was baseball had this great idea and they did all the work to make it look real good for what turned into a total disaster. No, they can't do much about the weather. That just kind of is what it is. Anytime you host an outdoor event, you run the risk that weather can interfere. I got married outside. We got asked, hey, Rob, what happens if it rains on September 21st, 2024? And the wife and I's answer was, we have no idea. We have no contingency plan. If it rains, we might just say, bring the umbrella. We're getting hitched in the storm. We have no contingency plan. There's not a contingency plan for this. If it rains throughout the weekend, we're screwed. We're not going to do it. I get it. What I will say is this. The presentation of the game was fine. The execution of the game makes me go from a guy who was interested in going over for this game. Unfortunately, some circumstances prevented me from doing so. Circumstances outside of my control. To a guy that is real glad he didn't go to the game. And to be honest, if they run this thing back again next year, especially if they get to the point where they start trying to do this in other raceways to continue to build the relationship between NASCAR and baseball, which I think would be great, I don't think I'm interested in going other ones. I just don't. They were selling tickets to this game that were out past the right field wall. There were people posting pictures from their seats at this game who were seated in extreme left or right field who had a big-ass wall. They couldn't see the field. Like, and when I say see the field, I don't mean like see the plate. I mean see the field. They could see about 15 yards between the outfield and the outfield wall. They ran out of food. There were people posting pictures that they went to the concession stand to buy nachos, and they got handed, literally, just a paper container with chips on it. No cheese, no chili, no meat, no nothing. Just the chips. They ran out of beer. I'll tell you right now, greatest sin you can pull off in a baseball game is run out of beer. Hey, right, don't do that. I'll never come back. So, love a gimmick. Problem is, if you don't execute it, all the goodwill that you tried to build up by doing that gimmick, out the door. Wasted. No point.
How long did the game on Saturday last?
Standard baseball game. The game didn't take forever.
No, but they had it completed on Sunday. How long did it last on Saturday?
The rain delay was, the first one was just shy of 2 hours, like an hour and 40 minutes.
I'm not trying to defend them. So they have it set up for one day. So the people who came Saturday and ate stuff also came Sunday and ate stuff. So the supply that they had for one day ended up having to be stretched to 2 days. So to me, it makes sense why they ran out.
That is a very good and, dare I say, likely explanation of what happened. But you got to know when you get to the end of the Saturday, you got to look and say, we don't have enough food and beer for tomorrow. Get more. Figure it out. We have got your Major League Baseball. You are a multi-billion dollar organization. You have got a sponsored official food for stadiums team in every state of the union. Granted, there's no team in Tennessee, but you figure it the hell out. Because if I went there and I went on Saturday and it got rained out and I had to, not just had to, but was willing to come back on Sunday and you run out of food, brewskis, this sucks. This isn't fun anymore. All right, we'll talk more about that later on in the show. Let me get to item number two. I know that it's a little bit of an old story, but I do think it is the biggest story of the weekend if you are a fan of sports nationally. Los Angeles Lakers superstar Luka Doncic was handed a three-year, $165 million max extension by the LA Lakers. Now, we'll talk more about this in the contract and how it applies to the Lakers and what the future means for Luka Doncic and all that later on. This story is interesting to me because I think it sets up what is going to be the dramatic storyline for the LA Lakers coming into the 2025-26 year. And that storyline is, for the first time in his going on 21-season-long career, Lonzo, am I over-exaggerating? Am I being dramatic here? The answer is no, but I'll let you tell me if I'm wrong. For the first time in his 20 going on 21-year career, LeBron James is on somebody else's team. Every year since he was drafted till last year, it was LeBron's team and other guys were on it. For the first time in his career, LeBron's on somebody else's team.
All right, so on paper, that's true. On paper, that's true. On the court, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see when basketball gets back because I don't think he's going to give up that title on the court. And I don't think Luka will press it either.
That is probably my initial thought as well. Here's my other thing. We done seen Luka the last couple of weeks. I saw some video of him out and about over the weekend. That Men's Health magazine cover that captured the nation's attention last week, it ain't no joke. Looks good.
Does this prove he was lazy? Or is this just revenge?
Oh, I think it's a revenge tour.
Yeah.
As I have called it, it is the Luka Doncic 2025 U Dallas tour.
Yeah, but if you're Dallas, you'll go, see? If he applied himself while he was here like that, he'd still be here.
I mean, I get it. Here's the thing I'll say. That Luka Doncic 2025 U Dallas revenge tour only works if he... I bleeped it. Only works.
No, you kind of...
No, I said the 2025 Doncic U Dallas tour.
You said the first letter and a little bit too much.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sorry.
Revenge tour only works if he goes out there and is a dude this year. And the question mark is LeBron the guy that goes, I understand it, he's our dude now, I'm going to play the off-ball role? Or is LeBron the dude that takes it personally and goes, no, it's still my team. I'm still getting paid more than you because I've been here longer. And change the chemistry. And if he does that, does that implode the Lakers no matter what? We'll find out. We'll talk about it. Let's get to item number three. Look, this one's not anything's happening. This is not anything that is like a big breaking news story. But I absolutely do think it is one of the things you'll be talking about today. So that's why it's item number three. Ladies and gentlemen, football week's here. I've already run over it. I'm not going to do it again. Here's what you need to know. We got three NFL preseason games on Thursday. We've got three NFL preseason games on Friday. We've got eight NFL preseason games on Saturday. And we got a pair more on Sunday. You got to do that for 3 weeks up until August 23rd. August 23rd, we have got five college football games. Thursday, the 28th, we got a lot more than three college football games. Friday, the 29th, we got a lot more than three college football games. And Saturday, August 30th, it's on. Batting noon that day, Texas and Ohio State, a potential NCAA football national championship preview kicks us off at noon. We have football games into the evening as late that Saturday as 11 p.m. when Utah and UCLA play in Pasadena, Colorado State and Washington play in Seattle. And if that's not enough, we got a pair of big games on Sunday the 31st. Virginia Tech in South Carolina, 3 p.m. over at Megatron's Butthole in Atlanta, Georgia. Notre Dame at Miami, 7:30 p.m. that night down in Coral Gables, Florida. And if that's not enough, TCU in North Carolina play on Monday night, the 1st of September. You have to wait just 3.5 more days because when Thursday night rolls around and the NFL preseason begins week one in earnest, there are zero more Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays without football involved. It's time. P. people. It's also time to go to break. I'm Rob Brown. He's the great one, Lonzo. When we come back, let's talk a little college football. I don't think it's too early to start looking at week one. So, let's start making some guesses. We got lines, we got overs, we got unders, we got numbers, we got thoughts, we got evaluations. So let's give some predictions. Clemson, LSU, South Carolina, Virginia Tech. What are the storylines? What are the hitch points for those two big games that kick us off in like 3 weeks and some days? That's coming up. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Those are some dry-ass looking chicken.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I blew it. I yelled loudly before the mics were off. I just want to point out that if you're going to do a fast food commercial, don't make your chicken tenders look dry in the commercial, okay? Do you understand how difficult it is for me to be turned off by chicken tendies? I'm a big fan. I think we're all big fans. Chicken tenders got, like, if we put together a list of the nation's favorite foods, I have to imagine, like, chicken tenders have got to have one of the highest approval ratings of food by Americans. Think about it. When someone says, well, you know, I'm a picky eater or my kid's a picky eater, there's like two foods that are always thrown into the mix of foods that picky eaters will say yes to. It's always pizza and chicken tenders. Super high approval rate for chicken tenders. And yet, a particular fast food company, I shan't name them. During the break, I looked up at the TV just to see what was going on, if I'm missing any breaking news in the sports world. And I see an ad from a particular fast food joint. And man, if they ain't had the driest looking chicken tenders I've ever seen in my life. And that's what you put on the commercial. Like, we all accept that when we come to your fast food joint, the food we saw in the commercial is not going to look anything like the food you put on the tray that we tape back to the table or pull out of the bag in the car. I get it. I get it. When you put that burger on TV and it's big and it's fat and it's juicy and it looks delightful, that's not the burger that I'm unwrapping that makes me feel depressed and hate myself on the way to work in the afternoon. I get it. I understand that. But that's the best you decided to go with, you particular fast food joint. You decided to put those tendies on TV, ones that at 7:30 in the morning, I haven't eaten yet. 7:30 in the morning, I look. This should be prime, make me go, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to get for lunch today. I think I might hit that restaurant on the way home. And instead, I looked at those and I went, yeah, I don't think I want tendies today. I don't think that's the play for me.
I don't think it was that bad. I think you are hungry. That may be clouding your view of those particular chicken tenders?
There's a lot of foods that I would look at and go, not me. Again, chicken tenders have got to have one of, like, I would say if we had to pick the top five foods power ranked by America, not us, by Americans everywhere, I got to imagine chicken tenders is in that top five, and I don't think they're number five. They're probably up closer to the top of that list. I don't think I've ever looked at, look, here's a fast food joint right now for fried chicken. I just looked at it. I'm like, that was pretty good. And you know, that's like my third favorite fried chicken joint. That's a good looking tendy. That's good looking fried chicken.
They are showing tenders there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Those first ones did not make me go, I think I'm going to hit them on the way home.
How many times
have we been doing this show and a commercial comes on and we talk about it during the break and I'm like, yeah, I think that's what I'm getting on the way home today.
That's true. But I will say that particular place that you're unhappy with is known for something else.
So, fair enough. It's not their forte.
And most people don't go there for food.
Not their forte. I get it. They're known for one thing. Again, not going to tell you because if I do, you'll know exactly who the hell it is.
And the one thing that they're known for, they're really good at.
For sure.
Yeah.
They're a regular stop for me on road trips out of town. I'll hit one on the way out. Be like, let me get one of those things your specialty known for. I almost did it right there. All right. We'll get away from that. The point here is, If you're gonna put your food on TV, like, put good food on TV. That's rough, man. That's rough. Hey, let's talk a little college football, shall we? Because you may or may not be keeping track of this, but we have 3 weeks and 3.5 days until Thursday the 28th when we get everything going. Is that the right day? I think it is. I think that's the right day, right? 23rd. Yeah, 23rd. Yeah. All right, cool. Great. Awesome. So let's talk about the games for South Carolina and Clemson that will be batting lead off on that opening weekend of college football. And we'll go in chronological order. So we'll start with that first game, Clemson taking on LSU. The Tigers of Death Valley will host the Tigers of Death Valley in Death Valley. Of course, this one, the north one, the one here, on August 30th. Start with this when we talk about LSU. I don't know what to make of what this team is this year. And there's two groups of people who have taken a stance on what LSU is. There's group number one. This is the group that genuinely believes that Garrett Nussmeier is the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. He's got the experience. He's got the numbers. Pressure's on. I spoke to a cat by the name of Matt Mascana. He broadcast down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, in fairness, Matt Mascana and the folks that broadcast down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they are demonstrably, empirically, unquestionably pro-LSU guys. They make no bones about it. But I talked to Matt at SEC Media Days away from microphones for about 15 minutes. In fact, we are going to have Matt on the show a little bit closer to the end of the month. He's going to come on as one of the things I am going to try to accomplish this year is to make a weekly segment that we go behind enemy lines. I will welcome in broadcasters, radio hosts, television dudes from the opponents of Clemson, South Carolina, and the Carolina Panthers throughout the course of the week. He is going to come on for week one when LSU and Clemson play at each other to talk a little football. I was talking to him, and I will, again, acknowledge that he's a pro-LSU broadcaster. I talked to him away from the team. And I said, hey, man, like, just you. Not radio you, but just you. What do you think about Nussmeier? And he said, I'm saying this to you not as an LSU guy or LSU broadcaster. I'm saying this to you as somebody who has been watching this kid. He's going to be great. Not good. He's going to be great. He said, I've got LSU winning the conference. And that is not just because of the fact that I think it is Brian Kelly's most talented team and not by a little bit. He said, I'm telling you it's going to be because of Garrett Nussmeier. This dude is a dude. I'm not fully bought in on that yet. I have question marks. We talk about the fact that last year, LSU, despite losing to USC in the opener, they turned around and they reeled off six straight wins. That included, of course, the win on the road at South Carolina that, controversial. They won six straight. They got inside the top 25. Then they lost to A&M, Alabama, and Florida back to back to back. They got blown out by Alabama. They lost by 11 on the road at Florida. Granted, that was about the time that DJ Lagway started to break out a little bit. Granted, that was about the time until Alabama got beast-slapped and scored zero touchdowns against Oklahoma, which effectively removed them from playoff consideration. That's about the time that Alabama was kind of finding a role. In those three losses, however, Garrett Nussmeier played like crap. Like, he played very poorly. In losses to A&M and Alabama and Florida, completed less than 57% of his passes, five interceptions across those three games. LSU managed just 17 points on average. Outside of those three games, the other nine games they played, they averaged 38 points per game. That is why I have questions about Garrett Nussmeier. Granted, a year older, another offseason of XP, and the accumulated XP from those games last year, those losses last year. But he also accumulated XP in that loss at A&M. And then he played worse against Alabama. And then he played worse against Florida. So I don't know that I'm comfortable saying, hey, look, he's going to pull it together. He took some L's. He took some shots to the chin. And now he's just going to bounce back and be better. Because he did not do that last year. There is also the additional narrative about the pressure that is on Brian Kelly. I don't know what Brian Kelly has to accomplish to not either A, get dismissed by LSU next offseason, or B, avoid being on the hot seat at LSU next season. What I do know is the folks that I have spoken to across the college football landscape seem to believe the answer is 9-3. Anything less than 9-3, he's gone. 9-3. 9-3 might get him on the hot seat. Anything worse than that, probably gone. Anything better, 10-2, that's probably good enough to get you into the playoffs. That's what they believe. So what does that matchup look like? What are the strengths of LSU and how they match up with the Clemson Tigers in week one? When we come back, I will give you some thoughts on that game. Then we will transition to South Carolina's opener against Virginia Tech. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show. That's all coming up on the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Up State. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you. I am Rob. He is the great one, Lonzo. Be a part of the radio show this AM, 844-326-3663 is the number. You can call that number and get on the air. You can text that number and we will read it on the air. You can also get at me on social media at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, if you wish to do so. Or you can email me, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. I knew there was one more. We got there. So we have talked a little bit about Clemson's week one opponent, the LSU Tigers, as the Tigers of Death Valley come visit the Tigers of Death Valley in a week one matchup. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses that Clemson will have to match up with and try to take advantage of as they square the cow and meow offense up, as Lonzo and only Alonzo has so affectionately named it this year? Heading into the season, here is what I think we will have to keep an eye on.
Send all your hate, not physicality, this way. I'm good with that. Don't need any physicality.
Yeah, I'm out. That's all, Zoe. Send all hate mail courtesy of Lonzo at the Fan Up State. I will start.
Send it with actual mail and do the thing where you cut the letters out of the paper.
Oh, you want like hate ransom notes?
Oh yeah, those are awesome.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I do. Let's start with this one. I think the first thing you're going to have to contend with is, what is this Clemson run game going to be capable of against what I believe is LSU's strength, and that is the linebacking core. LSU is going to this year run a very interesting defense under Blake Baker. LSU plays not really a 3-4, not really a 4-3. They kind of hybrid it. They also don't really have a nickel package. They have a position they call the star. The star position. The star position is kind of a linebacker safety hybrid. It is a guy that is going to play slightly deeper than your linebackers, but slightly closer than a safety. And he has the capability of stepping into either situation. What that does is create an issue for quarterbacks. And this is why I have said, for a number of quarterbacks, Garrett Nussmeier is without a doubt one of them. Lenora Sellers is one of them. Garrett Nussmeier is one of them. For a number of quarterbacks this year, their mettle is going to be tested in week one. Cade Klubnik is one of those guys, because Cade Klubnik is going to see a defensive formation and a defensive tactic in week one that he will likely not see any other game on the season, because of the way that LSU has a hybrid position player on the field genuinely most every snap. Whereas most teams are going to go with either a 4-3 or a 3-4 and four defensive backs, LSU is going to run effectively a 3-3 nickel set, except for they will ordinarily have four DBs back. They will have one dude that's kind of in the middle of the field that can drop off into playing the DB role, can step up into playing a linebacker role. And in a lot of situations, I would say, that's great. I could take advantage of that. If the guy's undersized, if the guy they put in that spot is undersized, cool. I'm running right at him. I'm going to block everybody else, and I'm just going to one-on-one solo that guy with my biggest, baddest dude out of the backfield. And if he's oversized, if he's a linebacker, I'm going to mix and match wide receivers and running backs out of the backfield. And whatever my fastest dude is that gets covered up by that guy, I'm going to attack that route every time. The problem that you're going to bump into is that the guy that is going to be playing the star role this year for LSU is a cat by the name of Harold Perkins. He is a 6'1", 220-pound junior that is the prototype of a dude that is going to play a defensive back linebacker hybrid. He's going to be a problem for you this year. That is the number one matchup, in my opinion, that will dictate and determine how this game goes for Clemson. It is, can Garrett Riley figure out what the weakest part of Harold Perkins' game is? And problematic for Clemson, there's not a lot of tape on this guy last year. He missed most of last season with a knee injury. He was a fantastic player in 2022, but he played primarily as an edge rusher, either a hand-in-the-sand defensive end or a stand-up outside linebacker. This is going to be the first run at it where he is going to be playing kind of that stand-up around-the-formation role. That seems interesting. The other problem you're going to bump into with the LSU defense in week one is that this team has a very interesting similarity with 2023 Florida State or 2024 Florida State. We don't know yet. That is to say, they are very, very portal heavy this year. One of the guys that will be on this defense as a portal guy is a cat by the name of Patrick Payton. He is going to be playing predominantly at the defensive end spot, though he also can sometimes stand up, drop off into an outside linebacker position. Patrick Payton is a transfer from Florida State. Patrick Payton came to Florida State with the expectation that he would be a Florida State all-time great. He was part of a defense last year that was embarrassing. And Patrick Payton is an interesting character in that he has all of the physical tools. As a 6'5", 255-pound cat with wheels, he has all of the physical tools to be one of the best defensive players in college football. Yet, last year, he was kind of pretty good. Did the mentality shift happen? Did the kick in the pants that he and the rest of the boys in Garnet and Gold got last year in Tallahassee, Florida, did that evolve him to the next level? Or does he bring the same mentality that infested Florida State last year? That is to say, a mentality of, we here to get paid. And that is not my opinion. That is the opinion of a number of folks that I know that I worked very closely with down in Tallahassee when I broadcasted there. That is the opinion of a number of folks down there around the Tallahassee area. That Florida State's defense primarily, but the team at large was kind of infected by this mentality of we're here to get paid. That ultimately took over and created a world where they just could not succeed. Does he get rid of that? Because if he does, Patrick Payton is going to be a problem for the Clemson Tigers. If he did adapt, if he did evolve, if he did get better, then I would make the argument that that you're in trouble. If he did not, that's a weak spot on that defense that can be attacked. The matchup for me that will matter the most when Clemson and LSU play is, number one, Harold Perkins at the star position, playing a hybrid role that is unique to LSU. Well, not to LSU, but of the Power Four teams. Largely unique to LSU and occupied by a dude. And then whether or not Patrick Payton is going to be a dude as an edge rusher. I don't know the answer to that. Very quickly, let's address for the next handful of minutes the week one contest of the South Carolina Gamecocks. A little bit easier of an ask taking on the Hokies of Virginia Tech. This is a team last year that lost their opener against Vanderbilt that was on the road and it was in overtime. This is a team last year that lost to Rutgers. This was a team that lost to Syracuse. This is a team last year that lost to Duke. It is also a team that knocked off a Georgia Tech team that I was in love with and kept them out of the end zone the entire game. This is also a team that kept it close with Clemson until the fourth quarter when they did not. It's not a bad football team. And, as I have said a few times, I think Brent Pry is probably the most hot seat coach in the ACC coming into the 2025 season. So, what are we looking at here? Number one, new offensive coordinator, Phillip Montgomery. Here's what we know about Phillip Montgomery. He has been the offensive coordinator at Houston, Baylor, and Auburn. And at all three spots, Phillip Montgomery runs a wide-open offense. Wide open. He wants to put 40 on the board. The second thing that we know of, Kyron Drones is going to be the starting quarterback. Drones, who had a string of lower body injuries last season, is back under center this year. This is a cat who has a ton of athleticism. This is a cat who can get all over the field. He can run, he can scramble, he can throw well, and he's got a better than average arm when he is on the run. Here's the problem that Virginia Tech brings into this game. They only have one other starter coming back from last year, and he plays tight end. That's it. They have a brand new running back. They have three brand new receivers that are getting starts, and they return zero offensive linemen. Now, I'm going to address the couple of problems that you will have if you were South Carolina, predominantly on defense, where they bring back their entire linebacking core. And their linebacking core gets around the field quite a bit. This is where the legs of Lenora Sellers are going to come into play. I've already mentioned a number of times, I believe this Gamecock team is good. But the reality of this Gamecock team is, and I don't think there's any issue with this, it's college football. This is not unusual. This team is going as far as Lenora Sellers can carry them. That's not an insult. That's a compliment to Lenora Sellers. That's how good he is. This team will go as far as Lenora Sellers is capable of carrying them, literally and metaphorically. If Lenora Sellers is able to get by, around, through, whatever, Virginia Tech's linebacking core, they have zero returning defensive backs. They have one returning defensive lineman, and it is their defensive tackle, Kelvin Gilliam Jr., who is 6'3", 295. Big boy, but he's not Georgia defensive lineman coming back. He's not there yet. So, you have the advantage on offense. Assuming that your offensive line is able to block the inside pressure, you should have an edge there. The defense against Virginia Tech's offense, it is going to be, can you keep Drones inside the pocket? We also know what the strength of South Carolina's defense is going to be this year. And I do not think that it is any sort of insult or disrespect to point out that South Carolina is expected to be their best off the defensive edge. That's going to be the bread and butter for the Gamecocks this year. And if that is the bread and butter for the defense around Dylan Stewart, around Brian Thomas Jr., if that's the bread and butter for the defense, the edge rush, the defensive line, and you can keep Drones inside the pocket, honestly, South Carolina should win this football game. And to me, should win it relatively comfortable. But you haven't seen what their offense is going to look like. Drones can play anywhere on the field as a quarterback. He can get outside. He can throw on the run. He can also take it himself. And now he's working under an offensive coordinator that wants to do that. That is the primary strength of this team. They do not have experienced wide receivers. What I do know so far is, from what I have heard, from the reports, from the advanced scouting of this team, etc., while they do not have experienced wide receivers, they got a bunch of dudes that are fast. They got a bunch of dudes who are quick on the outside, which means that when I've got a quarterback who is capable of going left, going right, and completing on the run, and I've got wide receivers who are quick in and quick out of routes, which is what I'm being told about Virginia Tech's wide receivers, the kryptonite to that is to get to the quarterback, is to keep him in the pocket, is to keep him from getting on the run, and if he is going to run, to force him to run up the middle where the tunnel vision kicks in. You do that, you should be able to win the game. Those are, and we've got plenty more to say about these two games as we inch ever closer to them, but those are, to me, the biggest standout, most important matchups in the two week one games. Spike texted the show, said, Rob, I don't have time to send Lonzo hate mail. Can I just send him a GIF of Woody Hayes punching Charlie Ballman?
Okay, what's that do? Is that pro me or anti me? Because if Woody would have known that he was going to get fired, he would have punched him harder. I mean, it really comes down to that. I mean, you're going down for it. You might as well, do the thing. You know what I'm saying?
To all future potential football coaches out there at any level, if you punch an opposing player, you're going to get fired. And I'm pretty sure that was true in 1970 as well.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly the year when that happened.
I don't either.
It hasn't happened since, as far as we know. But again, if you're going to go down, they say go down swinging, but swing a little bit harder. That's all I'm saying. I still don't understand. He got fired. Okay. They've done pretty good since. I mean, it's not like the program went, downhill and has never won anything since then.
They didn't get SMU'd for it.
And I will just point out the last time that Clemson and Ohio State played, y'all got y'all butt whooped. So anyway,
you could say you got Woody hazed. 844-326-3663 when we come back. Some of the other big sports stories from the weekend had a very interesting NASCAR race yesterday. We will get to that. Luka Doncic got fat stacks, bro. We'll talk about that. And a whole lot of baseball all coming up after Lonzo, the Woody Hayes of sports flashes, punches you in the face for the next 60 seconds.
Or somewhere else where it might hurt more. William Byron took home the checkered flag at the Indy Corn 300. It's the thing, Indy Corn 350, also known as 350. Yesterday, fighting off fuel concerns down the stretch en route to his second victory of the season, Byron ran out of gas at both Michigan and Indianapolis this year. Yeah, that's not a good thing. MLB's first ever Speedway Classic played on the infield at Bristol Motor Speedway was rain delayed from Saturday into Sunday, but ultimately won by the Atlanta Braves 4-2 over the Reds. Rookie Hudson Waldrop was credited with the win. Braves recorded 10 hits over the two-day affair, including a pair of home runs from Greenville native and Wren High School graduate Eli White. Cameron Young scored his first PGA Tour victory yesterday, claiming the Wyndham Championship by two strokes with a 2-under 68 in the final round and wrapping with a 22-under 258.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.